Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Churchill. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you doing today?
Good.
You have your glass of wine ready?
It's a full glass. I'm ready.
a full glass or a whole bottle?
Yeah, about half the bottle. So I'm ready to chat.
Welcome back to another episode of City Living with Churchill. It's your boy, Church. Last week, we talked about finding your dream apartment in New York. We had Jason Christie from the Polaris team give us the breakdown from his perspective as a broker of what we should be thinking about, questions we should be asking, how should we be going about finding our dream apartment in New York, especially with summer being here, and you know there's a lot of you that are going to be moving to the city. So I think the episode was wonderful. It was great. It kind of gave me a lot of new gems, as I call them. Some of you actually reached out to me and said, Church, that was such a good episode. So I was like, yeah, I agree. So I turned the episode into a blog. So if you go to citylivingwithchurchill.medium.com, aka if you check the description, you will find a link where you can go check out all that was discussed in that episode. You can find, what he mentioned in terms of asking what questions to ask a broker, when he talked about renter's insurance. You have everything you need in one spot. I cleaned it up, so you don't have to do any extra work of trying to say, what is this? It's all very well put together for you, so you have it as you go around looking for your apartment. That episode actually also did inspire me to remember a conversation I had with my friend Jenny. We've been friends for a long time now. We were neighbors when I lived in Indiana, and that's how we became friends, and we've been friends ever since. But then she moved to New York City. And in the spirit of thinking about moving to the city, what you should be thinking about, I think those who move to the city with their partner, so you're in a relationship and you move to the city, have a total different experience than someone that is single and moving to New York City. And so Jenny and her boyfriend moved to the city, and I was curious about, what was that experience like for her? What was the experience like for them being new to the city, experiencing it? Like, was it a different way of thinking versus what you thought about it if you were single? We watch a lot of shows about New York City, and it is people always being single, trying to find their way, trying to find the guy. And it's always this self-exploration, self-discovery style. And I wondered that, what does that look like for someone that is already in a relationship and they both are moving to the city? So I hit Jenny up, and she was so graceful and she was so wonderful to share her story and her experience and her perspective with us. And as we were talking about it, the conversation kind of took a different turn too, where we started talking about, dealing with mental health issues and really trying to find a good mental space during COVID. So I was like, interesting. So this is going to be a two-part episode where the first part, we're going to talk about Jenny and her movement to New York. How was that experience for her and her boyfriend? What does that look like? And then the second part, which is going to happen next week, we're going to talk about really trying to find a therapist. What was it like? Again, we're not going to go deep into the issue because none of us have the credentials to, and I try to be very particular about that. But really, just from our perspective, what is it like? And then we talk a little bit about, her experience with catcalling in general. It was a very interesting conversation, and I think both, will be a good lesson for us to really gain and understand and listen to someone else's perspective so we can learn something new. So with that in mind, here's part one of my discussion with Jenny. And again, as I mentioned, part two will premiere next week. Let's listen in. What inspired you to move to New York City?
Yeah, so I was living with my boyfriend Jason at the time. We met in Indy, which is where I met you as well. And, kind of getting to Indy, we were ready to leave. So probably not the best mindset, but we put in our time there. I was there for like 2 years. And then we were kind of looking for other places to move. So with my job, I can kind of move wherever. They're pretty flexible. Thank you, tech. And then same with his job.
Yeah.
So we were picking a city. We were debating between New York and Seattle for a really long time. My parents live in Seattle now, so that was a top choice, and it's a pretty cool city too. So we decided on New York together just because we figured we're not going to ever go back to New York once we're older. But yeah. When we're older, maybe we'll go back to Seattle. So it's more of a younger city. The time is now. After Indy, we lived in actually Oklahoma City for a little bit. He was there recording some of his album and working with his engineer. It's not his day job, but a big hobby of his. So we were there for a few months and then moved to New York together.
Did you know what specific area in New York you wanted to live in? Or was that was a search for you?
Oh, I had no idea. I had a couple of friends who were already living there from high school. And so a lot of that conversation was just asking my girlfriends what area they like, what kind of neighborhood is this like? And then from that, we kind of decided on like the lower Manhattan area.
Yeah.
We started in Lower East Side and we just subletted for 2 months. And then that allowed us to kind of explore the city, know where we're going and try a couple of neighborhoods. And then from there, we like Nolita, so we got an apartment there.
One thing I, for example, you know, experienced, you know, moving from the Midwest, remember in my Indiana apartment was like a whole loft of itself. This apartment was huge. And I remember when I moved to New York, the apartment I got, I was living on a box. How did you find it surprising? Like, how has that changed for you? Sort of moving from a huge apartment to a small space.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was definitely hard. I mean, finding an apartment with like a dishwasher and like laundry in unit is a feat. But we felt like those were things that we had to have. So it took a lot of searching. And to find one within our budget, it was so hard. But we definitely also lived in a box, especially in Nolita.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like 400 square feet for two of us. So it was really, really hard. And then even then, our dishwasher is like one of those like mini size ones. The soap was mini. Everything was miniature.
Yeah.
So
you had a dishwasher?
Yeah. And laundry.
You had a dishwasher and laundry? You were living in luxury. Yeah. Is that a high rise? You were living the luxury life.
It was like the oldest building ever. We were on the first floor. Like the rats were literally right underneath us. We had so many cockroaches, but they remodeled it well enough that it was like, okay, we have high ceilings so we can like, and my boyfriend's like 6'7". So we like made it work. It was like, okay, not the best, but we have our bare minimum necessities, so we'll try it out. And yeah, I mean, you live in a great apartment now. I mean, you have like plenty of space, way more than we did there.
Yeah, but like, if you know, by New York standards, having a washer, dryer, and a dishwasher, that is like luxury.
Yeah.
Like, by New York standards, it doesn't matter your apartment is big if you don't have those things. That literally is luxury style living.
I know, and I didn't know that until we got there. In fact, I was like, no dish disposal? No sink disposal? What's the deal? What's the problem?
Yeah, so I you know, one story I heard in the past is that the reason why New York doesn't have dishwashers or dish disposals, however they're called, is the fact that at some point gangs were, at least when New York was hiding at the mafias, they would like kill people and then like flush them through.
Oh,
I don't know if it's true, but that is the story I heard, and I've been trying to figure out where I heard it from, but I'm stuck with it, and that's story, and I'm sticking to it.
They kept clogging up the dish disposals with like fingers and stuff, so the whole city had to get rid of them.
Yeah,
is that basically it?
The amount of dead bodies that were being stuck in there.
Love that. I love
sounds
it.
Like a good American Horror Story.
Yeah.
A Stranger Things episode. Usually, when most people move to New York City, I say usually because that's my friend group, not because it's the norm or there's any fact to it. It's a lot of single people, and I think that's one of the appalling things about New York, right? If you watch like New York shows, and then most things about New York is tied to this idea like, I am single, come to the city, I have this star job, and you know, I'm gonna go on dates with the lawyers and the doctors. This whole, you know the drill. Mm-hmm. This whole Sex and the City sort of look. How was that different for you as you came to the city as a couple and you sort of trying to have that New York experience and live in the city but being in a couple? How was that different, or how were you both sort of finding your identity and adjusting to the city?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not going to lie. My boyfriend's in the other room, so you can't hear. But I felt like maybe I wasn't like getting the most out of it as other people, my peers, have. But it was good to have somebody like do it with you, just because it's kind of intimidating, especially if you don't know that many people. Luckily, we both had like a couple of friends already in the city. So we like had kind of a base to start off with. But like living with each other, I mean, even just rent wise, definitely like a good move. It made it easier. But it's been also really fun trying new restaurants, going to new neighborhoods, exploring and like making friends together. So like that's been really fun. But also, you're right, like, I kind of wish I had the Sex and the City experience. However, like, at the same time, a lot of my girlfriends were complaining that, like, the Tinder boys, the Hinge boys are, like, awful to deal with in mass amounts. I mean, what did you feel like? What was your experience?
It's a little bit different for me because I was sort of staying here one time and then staying somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So I had one foot in New York and one foot in Indiana for a long time.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's right.
My transition was... I think I had a slow pill transition. So it wasn't like I just moved. I had started building some friends here. So when I moved, I had a sort of a community of sorts. Yes, I still needed to know some people, but it wasn't as harsh of a move as I think just literally just uprooting from one area. So I had some time to process and make connections, but it was still, I always had this dream, especially that I was going to move to the city, meet a lawyer, we're going to date, have a wonderful family. Oh, it's not real.
It is not real.
But I have one last hope. I'm still keeping close the fact that I can still have my Sex in the City experience, or which is funny because I haven't watched that many episodes of Sex in the City, but I can get the gist. What would you say was the hardest part about moving to New York City and starting up?
Money. Just like you cannot save money in in New York. Like, remember when we lived in Indy, like food was so cheap, rent was so cheap. You're like, I'm living the wealthy upper middle class life already as like young professionals. That goes out the window in New York. And like, even though obviously your salary kind of matches your cost of living, that it just, you never get that feeling back. It's just a different feeling. I never felt like that overwhelmed by it, honestly. It was actually like very comforting. A lot of people said that when I first moved to New York, oh, you're going to be so overwhelmed. Like, you're going to be so stressed, like the grind. But I was okay with that. My biggest issue was, I mean, I had a ton of fun. I would like go out, eat at all the restaurants that I wanted to. But like, you can't save anything when you're living there, no matter how much you make. I mean, probably for people our age. There are exceptions, obviously. I don't know if you feel the same way, but that was me.
There was this thing in New York, so you get in a relationship because you want to
meet
someone because so to help you pay rent. So you can have the dual income and it makes things easier on you. So did you feel that way, or was it still like a lot of pain?
I
think, for example, like I'm single, so I still pay a lot of rent. Because no one else is gonna do it. There are folks that will say if you're a couple, you have it easier than folks that are single and paying rent.
Oh, totally. Yeah, no, for sure. I can't even complain because we're splitting it, obviously. And if that's the hardest thing that like I have to deal with in New York, then that's probably pretty good. I mean, a lot of my like single girlfriends are paying like exactly how much I would for to have like 3-4 other roommates. So, you know, it's not too bad. I would say if that weren't the only thing, though, the other thing would just be like the size of the apartment, honestly. Growing up in the Midwest, like we are not used to living in 400 square feet. That's unnatural for us. But, you know, the experience, I guess, makes up for it. And not only that, but like meeting so many new people, too, like you and all of your friends, too. That was like really fun. That's the kind of stuff like we didn't really experience that much in Indiana, like going to work there. I felt like I was meeting some people, but a lot of it was like our coworkers. And like, luckily me and you were neighbors, so we like naturally became friends, but there's just not that many people there, literally to meet. Craziest part is like Churchill dated my best friend in college. Like that is something I'll never get over, how crazy that of a coincidence that was.
Yes. I wouldn't say dated.
Okay.
However.
Yeah.
It was very interesting because I remember going downstairs and I was like, oh, they're friends. And I was like, But you know, I found that I form a lot of unique friendships in a very weird
way. This is the weirdest though, by far for me. Yeah. This one.
And I remember seeing in the laundry room and I feel like we had to talk because we both had a common denominator friend. I hadn't seen also your friend in a long time since college. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I literally was going downstairs to just exit the building and we were right there with you, and I was just shocked about it. I was like, hi, hello. And then I felt like after that, I felt pressured after that to like, okay, I have to say something because it's awkward if I do not say anything.
I mean, we literally live right next to each other. Like, how could we miss each other?
Which was even more funny. The fact that we live right next to each other and that became more of a coincidence. I was just like, Everything happens for a reason in the rightful way it should happen. I know. But what is funny, because I feel like that experience is a very New York experience happening in Indiana.
Yes, for sure.
What would you say surprised you the most about New York?
Honestly, not that much, but people are a lot nicer than people give New Yorkers credit for. I don't think that was too surprising to me, though. I feel like I didn't come in with too many expectations, but I met plenty of really nice, really awesome people. And people are always like, oh, New Yorkers are so stuck up. Like, you're going to have such a hard time making friends. And I just don't feel like that was really true.
I think what people think as not nice is just means the, I equate it to less tolerance for bullshit.
Yeah.
There's very low,
which I appreciate. I don't mind that at all. In fact, I don't mind if more people like live like that. I like the directness. I don't like the read between the lines kind of thing. Okay, I know this is an interview about me, but can I ask you, like, how's New York been? How do you feel living there?
New York has been good. I cannot see myself living anywhere else right now. I've thought about it. I've like tried to imagine other areas. I've tried. Even when I was in Indiana, if I were to be honest with myself, I would say I was not happy.
I was not either. Me neither.
You know, if I'm being honest with myself, I never can or will, at least for now, cannot see myself living anywhere. So even when the COVID hit and everyone was moving out of the city, as much as I wanted to spend time with my family and see them, it was just like, I could not see myself moving out of New York. I've always wanted to live here. I'm in love with the city. I don't see myself going anywhere anytime soon. And so I stayed. The city is slowly recovering. It's coming back. You know, we still... What is funny is that when they started, or at least when they sort of opened the outdoor sittings, they can go to the bar, but you have to sit outdoors. That was good during the summer. It's winter time, and everyone is building, like, basically these huts, which it's basically just an extension of an indoor city. Right. And they're calling it outdoor sitting because it's on the sidewalk. And so it's a lot of changes there. There'll be some fun stories, though. Like, you know, the police have been... People are frustrated. People are tired. And so the police have been busting a lot of parties. You know, there's like a party in Brooklyn that got busted. There was like it's like 400 to 500 people party. I read about that,
Yeah,
it's crazy. Like last weekend, for example, you know, they busted a sex party in at a swingers club in Queens. There was something else going on in Midtown. It had like 400 people. People are tired. The New Yorkers are tired. I want to go back to a normal life. But I think we also understand that for us to go back to normal life, it requires a lot of sacrifice. And so, but the city's still here. I just think everything that used to be above ground went underground.
For sure. The
pandemic, you know, some folks kept to social distancing, some folks did not, but no, we're hanging in there. I'm staying positive. I'm looking forward to things being back to normal. I miss dancing. I miss sweating. I miss someone's sweat. I know that's
nasty basement sweat. Can't miss it.
Yes. I miss going to like a club and complaining. I miss complaining.
Give us something to complain about. Why is this line so long?
Exactly.
That's all we want.
Why is this line so long?
Seriously.
Why are you asking me to pay $40 to get in a club that looks close? Like, I want to complain about that.
I want to wait in line for an hour in the cold to get into this shitty club, please.
Exactly. That's the energy I want. if you could summarize your New York experience as a woman, how would you summarize it?
I want to say not that different from a man's. I don't feel like it's more unsafe or anything like that living in New York. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe other people don't feel the same way and I'm just like oblivious. That's very possible. But I feel like I'm able to have as much fun and do whatever I want without hesitations because I'm in like in a big city or I'm riding the subway home alone, which I don't do that often. I love the Ubers, let's be honest. So, but yeah, I, as a woman, not too different.
That's good. Equality. That's
absolutely right. And if, even if there's not equality 2020, I'm going to pretend that I see it. I'm going to pretend that that's me.
All right, that's a wrap up of part one with Jenny. She's always wonderful. I just find it very interesting how she and I became friends. Next week, we're going to deep dive more into, you know, Jenny had mentioned about why she doesn't like winter, and it kind of goes into the realm of seasonal depressions. So trigger warning for those or for some folks that are struggling or going through that and don't want to listen to that episode. But it will be just, again, nothing too deep. It's just our perspective of trying to reflect going through COVID and trying to really get a sense of, you know, how are we being sane. A lot of this conversation was recorded in 2020 at the height of COVID, where we're trying to all figure out, you know, what to do. How do we sort of, you know, be or find a new normal? And so there was so much things going on, and that's why the conversation kind of took a two-part turn. If you haven't already done so, make sure to check the description wherever you listen to this podcast. You can check out the blog post. It has everything you need to know about finding an apartment in New York, amongst any many other great things I write about. And if you haven't already done so too, make sure to like, subscribe, review, rate this podcast wherever you're listening to. Make sure you leave a review. How are you doing? Let the audience know. Let me know, you know, what about this podcast you enjoy about it, and why do you keep coming back every week? I'm always very interested about that. I'm always very interested to learn more about you, because, you know, you're my peoples, right? You're my peoples. All right. Well, my peoples, as always, be kind to yourself.